Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring on new guests to talk about UFOs and the paranormal. And tonight I am so honored and excited and happy to have this guest that I'm bringing on tonight. Her name is Wendy Connors. That's not her real name. She's using a pseudonym, and once you hear her story, I think you'll understand why, because it's very extensive. Wendy has been having UFO encounters pretty much since she was a little girl, if not before, and this has been going on her whole life. She wasn't aware of it in the beginning, but did become aware of it, of course, at some point. And unlike many people who are having extensive UFO encounters, Wendy faced them head-on and has learned to get the most out of them, including having healing experiences and learning a lot of spiritual information, a lot of psychic kind of information and other things like this. And she's had some other amazing encounters with ghosts and you name it. I mean, it's happened to her. So I'm really, really excited. I actually know her very well. I've met her years ago, and I've been wanting to get her on the show for a long, long time, so I'm just so happy that she's finally agreed to come on. Wendy, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
You're welcome, Preston. How are you?
I'm doing great. Are you doing well?
I'm fabulous, thank you.
Well, gosh, you know, I'm so really happy that you decided to come on, because I think people would be very interested in what you have to say. And I just want to remind everyone that this is, in fact, a call-in show, so if you have any questions you'd like to ask our guest, I'll give you the number out right now. It's toll-free, 877-270-8714. I'll repeat that, 877-270-8714. So, Wendy, you know, the moment I met you, I think it was at a Crystal Skull gathering in Topanga Canyon.
Right.
I knew that there was something going on with you. And I don't normally get a lot of psychic impressions, but as soon as I saw you, I thought to myself, she's having ET contact. And sure enough, I was right.
Yeah, it was, that was kind of at a point when things were really out of control with it, I would say, because I knew something was going on. I wasn't completely aware of everything that was happening. And so there was still some fear involved in the contacts. Because I had a lot of bits and pieces of memories that hadn't fully surfaced to my waking conscious, which is very confusing when you're just getting bits and pieces of your experiences. And so if there are any types of testing going on, any kind of genetic experiments or anything, you know, it's very frightening when you only recall certain moments of those experiences.
Well, I would imagine you'd think you're going nuts. I mean, if you start, you know, seeing images of ETs.
Yeah, and I like to use the analogy for people that are in fear and maybe experiencing this sort of thing. Imagine if you went to the dentist, which is a good thing, and they're helping you, and you're getting a cavity filled. But the only thing that you remember of the experience is being under these bright lights, and this man with a drill is above your head, and you're seeing these needles, and you do feel something going in your gums, and you only have those moments to recall the experiment. It would be terrifying. It would be very frightening if that's the experience that you had, and those were the only moments that you could recall. So, you know, for people that have gone through this and don't have all of their memories fully aware, you know, for them to understand or to experience, just the terrifying moments would be very disorienting.
Wow. I would imagine, you know, other people have told me that same exact thing. And I think what happens is the trauma is what gets noticed by the mind first or remembered first.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was experiencing when I was remembering things. I would remember these horrible incidents. And I've later realized that a lot of the things that I went through, A, I did agree to and didn't realize it at the time. And B, I had some amazing things happen for me that actually preserved my life and kind of jump-started my whole growth as far as being, you know, spiritually evolved, I guess you could use that terminology.
Right. Well, let's go back then, I mean, to how this all began, because, I mean, you didn't think you were having contact your whole life. I mean, at some point you must have realized that something strange was going on.
Well, the part was, because of all the fear that was involved with this, I had to go through an awakening process. And when you're going through these experiences and you're rooted in fear, you're not going to act in a manner that is normal. You're going to, we're animals. I mean, we are animals and we have animal instincts, and it's the fight or flight thing. And so we react in a way that can be very violent and very dangerous to anyone when we're just reacting and not understanding. And so I think that I could have been a real threat to these beings if I were only functioning from a fear mode. So they actually have to put you into this kind of a semi-conscious or a quasi-conscious state so that you don't hurt yourself and you don't hurt them. And
Whitley Strieber. Whitley Strieber talked about that exact same thing. He's a famous UFO abductee, how he would get so terrified that he'd just be inside his animal mind and just observing what was happening while he's screaming and screaming and screaming, and he couldn't stop screaming.
Exactly. Yes, yes. Well, I've been there. And I just thought, okay, in this moment, first of all, I don't want to be a victim. I've never wanted to be a victim, and when you're a victim, you don't come from a point of power. You're in fear, you're in terror, and you're in weakness. So when I realized that I actually did have some control of my faculties, I thought, okay, I'm not going to be a victim here. How can I change this situation? How can I manipulate this to my benefit? Because clearly I'm in a really kind of a screwed situation at this point.
Right,
and
right.
So I got to a place where I could actually move out of my fear, use some rational thinking, and approach these beings and ask them questions. And one of the funniest moments to me was, well, for one, I thought, well, these guys have traveled light years. They've traveled across the galaxy. And I'm sure you've heard this many times where people are getting these probes in their anus. They're getting these rectal probes.
Right,
and I'm
right.
thinking, if they're so intelligent, these are such brilliant beings, why are they digging in my butt? Why have you traveled across the cosmos to dig into my rear? Because I never found anything good in there. But mostly, you know, it's coming out. It's, you know, there's no gold. There's nothing. So I thought, I said, you know, what do you hope to find in there? And amazingly, to my astonishment, they said, well, what we're doing is similar to your geologists when they're taking core samples. And what we're looking for is we're looking at the effects of pollution on your bodies, on different systems that are working through the way that you digest foods, the effects of the air, all different sorts of things. And they said they can monitor disease, illness, the breakdown of our physical systems, and the effects of different things in our environment. And I just was astounded.
Well, now, when they told you that, were they using words, or was this telepathic? Did they use images, or how did they tell you that?
You know, it was a while back, so I want to say I heard words, but I don't recall really talking to them with words at that point. I think it was just, I asked them verbally out loud, and they responded as though they were speaking to me, I think, at that point. But I did hear, you know, an actual voice communicating to me. But I can't be sure at this point if I saw it coming, you know, if their mouth was moving.
Right. Well, let's back up to how this all started. I mean, you were living your life fine and normal, thinking that nothing's going on. Then I think you saw, like, Billy Meyer on TV, and that's when you started to realize you were having similar experiences?
Now, you know, what happened was, I started waking up at 3:33 a.m. with horrible panic attacks, just horrible. I was terrified.
Right.
And I didn't really understand what was going on. And then strange things were happening. I was finding, I think, which I even showed you some of the things that had happened to me at that point, with scars on my body and marks, and found things that were very unsettling to me. And I felt like I was being watched. I'd find leaves and dirt in my bed, and sometimes I'd have just, it was really strange.
Wow.
And it got to a point where there was a real paranoia that set in, and definitely fear, because I didn't really understand what was happening. I knew something was up, and I felt that I was being watched a lot of times. And then I would see things running through my home. I would feel people touch me. But then I'd quickly pass out. I'd have no real strong memory of anything. I just felt very disturbed. There was,
wow.
I knew something was going on, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it.
Well, this is when you started putting up traps in your house?
This was the point to where I thought... I had seen some things. I'd seen little beings running through my house, but I thought, okay, I'm mad. I'm going nuts. I'm having a breakdown. Something's seriously wrong.
Right.
And I've never had any sort of mental illness. Mental illness does not run in my family. I've always been a very sound mind, and so I questioned everything. I thought, God, am I nuts? I mean, I'm not hearing voices or anything. And, so I still, I thought, what is this? What's going on? What could this be? But the things that were happening, and the scars and the different marks on my body, and then what started to happen was I started having bleed overs. And what I mean by that is these images or these experiences started to bleed into my waking consciousness. So I started really beginning to recall things that had been happening to me, like the night before, an experience. And the dreams that I was having were very unsettling because, like I said, it was bits and pieces of things that were quite terrifying and very scary and threatened, my mortality.
Right.
So I thought, okay, if someone's coming into my house and doing something to me, if this is what's going on, I'm going to catch them. If those little suckers think that they can do this and get away with it, wrong, I'm going to catch them. And so I booby-trapped all the doors and the windows, and I put, bags of flour so I could get footprints, and it would fall on them, and cans would make noises. I just, anything you could think of to catch them or trip them up or nail them, I was going to do it.
Wow.
And so I had booby traps everywhere.
And did they work at all?
What?
Did they work,
well,
the booby traps?
Not like I had hoped. But the interesting thing was I had roommates at the time that were noticing things, saw things around me and around the house that really got them concerned. And I had, my friends said that they had seen little beings running around the house, and that they saw white, bright lights and different colored lights coming through the windows, and that they'd see me out in the yard, and all of a sudden I would vanish. And I lost quite a few roommates, needless to say.
Well, were you thinking UFOs at this point?
Oh, yeah. At this point, I did, because it was the only thing really that made sense. But at the same time, I was telling myself, this can't be true. This is not possible. So it was a struggle in my own mind, really, to try to say, no, this is ridiculous. Because then if if it is that, who do you ask for help? You know, who do you tell? And if you do, do they lock you away? You know, it was a big concern.
Right, right. Understandably. Wow.
And so the breakthrough came because this had been going on for years. And most of my experience was a lot of nervousness, a lot of panic, anxiety in this, because something in me knew when they were coming. And something in me knew when they were on their way. And you feel very helpless. And it's a horrible place to come from. And so the night that everything broke through, I was laying in my bed, and I had that feeling. And there's a very strange noise that you hear when they're approaching as well. It's a very, very low hum. I don't know if it's the hum of the craft that they use. I'm not exactly sure if there's some kind of a magnetic field that causes this certain vibration, but you know. it's like the scary music in the Jaws movie, you know? It's that. there was no music, but when you got this sound, this tone, or this vibration, you knew there, you know, it's going to be moments and something really frightening is about to happen. And so I had all my booby traps in place and I was ready. I was going to get those little suckers. And, I'll tell you one thing that had happened just before this. So many times, I mean, I had crazy things where appliances would start to go off and, things would flip on that weren't, you know, that you would think had batteries in them, but or plugged in, and they weren't. They weren't plugged in. Radios that should have been plugged in would come on, and it didn't make any sense. It was the creepiest thing. But I had seen so many things, and I had felt so almost stalked, I guess you could say, that finally I got my nerve, and I was so angry. And I was so tired of being scared. I was so frightened I had had enough of the fear. That's just the worst feeling, to feel helpless and to be in fear. And I knew they were there. And I had seen out of the corner of my eye that there was a being in my room. And so I just screamed as loud as I could. I said, "All right, I've had it. You show yourself. You show yourself to me right now, I'm ready." And at that moment, I saw these very long, very strange-looking bony fingers slowly, ever so slowly, wrap around the door. And I saw three fingers that were very long, almost pale, like a palish, whitish color. They almost looked powdery. I know it sounds odd, but as I watched these fingers slowly fold over my door, and it was behind my door, so it was about to pop out to the side, and I was going to see it. And I started to see the very top of the head starting to come out. And as these fingers move, and I'm telling you, when I saw these things, I was mortified. For one, it's answering me, and for two, this thing that I have, you know, played out in my mind and this fear was now in my face and was about to completely reveal itself to me, and I told it I was ready, and as I watched these bony fingers wrap around and this little thing begin to present itself to me, I froze and just screamed, "I'm not ready!" I couldn't do it. If I saw one more inch of it, I would have passed out right there in fear.
Wow.
So I struggled with this for a while. I knew that some part of me was ready, and they were responding to me.
Well, what happened at that point? Did it go away then?
Oh, yeah. It was gone. As soon as I just screamed, "I'm not ready," it left. It was gone. I didn't see it.
Wow.
It didn't come out. And so that had gone on. I mean, I was back and forth with, okay, I'm ready, I'm not ready. I'm ready, I'm not ready. And so after, I mean, and this probably went on for a good year. So the night that I'm in my bedroom and this feeling, this thing happens and the sound, and I know that they're there, and I'm going to nail them. And I realize, as I see this light and I look up, these beings came right through the wall. There was no door that was going to get them. They weren't opening up the windows and climbing through. They weren't climbing down the chimney with Santa or anything. They came straight through the wall. And I realized, well, at that point I realized I was in serious trouble, because they were able to manipulate matter somehow, slowing, you know, or rather speeding their vibration of matter up to a level that they could manipulate our solid matter and move through it.
Right.
And that's when I knew I was in serious trouble, because I didn't have that technology and I didn't know how to get out of the room or walk through the walls or anything. And I was immediately, as I saw these little beings coming through the wall, my instinct, of course, there's that just complete and total chaos where you freak out and you just want to kill them and get out.
Right.
And they had an instrument that emitted a beam of light, and it rendered me almost completely unconscious. I would say for a moment or so I actually was completely unconscious. But in the middle of this process, I woke up, and they were taking me out through the wall. That was one of the most amazing experiences. It was, things felt almost spongy. It was odd. It was odd the way they, to this day it fascinates me, how they have the technology to manipulate atoms and matter so that we, it was like they spread the atoms out so that they were not solid, they were spongy.
Right. And you know, our own scientists are actually learning how to do this sort of stuff. They turned metal invisible by putting different oscillating lasers on it, so it made the metal transparent, and they were actually able to move, I think, gaseous matter through a solid substance, through a, you know, a piece of metal or something. But yeah, we're getting close to doing, being able to do that as well.
So. Well, these guys are really good at it. their knowledge is clearly, you know, way ahead of ours.
Right, right.
And I was just in awe as I woke up. I don't think they expected me to wake up, but somehow I pulled through this experience and woke up in the middle. The other fascinating thing was that none of them had their hands on me. They were carrying me, but yet nobody had their hands on me. So they were levitating me through this experience.
Interesting. Well, did they have their hands out or under you, or were they using instruments?
No, they somehow, no, they just, it's like they were carrying me, but none of them had their hands on me. They were just making this happen.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. It was interesting.
So wasn't there one time where you actually lashed out and struck one of these guys?
Yeah, well, actually, yeah. I broke one of their necks. They're very frail, and they're very easy to just snap, and I just wanted to kill it. I just thought, how dare you? Who do you think you are? You are hurting me. How dare you come into my room? And I reached out and I snapped its little neck like it was nothing. And that's when they completely knocked me out. And then once I was in their craft or wherever it was, you know, their area, I was in this semi-conscious state, or this altered state that they put you in, you understand more about who they are and your connection to them, and I felt horrible. I felt really, really bad. that I had done this. And it's almost like somebody, like when you're functioning in this human state, in this very animal, young human state, it's almost like being maybe an ape or a chimpanzee or something where you didn't mean to hurt something, you just, you didn't know any better and you were frightened, and that's immediately what you're going to do. And then when they put you in this other state, it's like you have, you understand more of yourself, you have more of your faculties. You understand more about the cosmos, the big picture, your involvement with this whole experience, this whole genetic, everything. I mean, I knew and understood my role.
Wow.
But when I'm not in that altered state, I'm functioning from a limited database, I guess you could say, and a fear base.
Yeah, well, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people, and there was a guy I interviewed just recently who I think was from Alabama or that thereabouts, and he was taken on board this craft and got frightened, and he reached out and he struck one of these guys, one of these, you know, the typical grays, and he says his fist went right into their body like a marshmallow. And he knocked it right down, and
really?
Was able to run around the ship there for a few seconds before they actually caught up to him. So that happens to a lot of people. And no,
it's just instinct. You just immediately your life is threatened, you think, and you are trying to protect yourself.
Right. Well, what do these beings look like? I mean, can you give us a description?
Well, these particular beings were small, you know, the larger heads. I would say they were probably around 3 or 4 feet.
Okay.
The necks that I had noticed were very thin, very frail, and that's like the one that I broke or I snapped. And I was just punching and kicking and just trying to get it away from me. Because I woke up in the middle of the night, and there it was, and I just, you know, I still wasn't used to this. But it's a, I mean, even though I know what's going on now, there are times where, you know, I'm coming from a limited perspective, I guess, in this experience, and my mortality comes to play, and then you wake up in the middle of the night, and even if your brother's standing next to you, you might snap his neck.
Right.
It's frightening. You know, you're asleep. That's a horrible thing to do to anybody. I don't know. They should just come and talk to me, you know?
Well, why don't they? I mean, why do they frighten people so much?
Well, they have come and talked to me many times now, but at the time, it is a very difficult thing for us in our experience as humans to fully understand. And there are things that we have agreed to do, and it is so disrupting to our lives. I mean, if you, like the genetic experiments and the taking of the eggs and sperm from human beings, It's frightening.
Right.
And if, you know, I mean, for many people, and from my own experience, and I wouldn't attempt to speak for everyone, but from what I understand and from my own personal experience, they, regardless of what I've heard many people say, I know that they have to interact with us. And they have karmic laws that they do have to abide by. And so, based on your karmic guidelines, I guess you could say, it's like if you are a victim, if you attract very negative situations to yourself, then karmically, these lower vibrational or negative beings can come in and violate you.
Wow.
But there's a karmic contract there that states that you're at that level to accept that type of treatment. But normally you would expect it to be from human beings in your own plane of existence. But it's my understanding that they do have to abide by these karmic contracts that we have in place. And so I would say to most people that are experiencing negative interactions with any being, what is it about you that you feel it's okay to allow victimization and
right.
then change that and change it quickly, because you can transform your experiences into very profound, very meaningful, and even very helpful tools for growth.
Wow, this is amazing. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. Over Our Heads, I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Wendy Connors. That's a pseudonym. She's talking about her many amazing UFO encounters. And, wow, Wendy, it's weird calling you that. I'm so used to your real name. But
don't do it, Preston. I'll have to kill you.
I won't do it. Let's get into some of this positive stuff, because that's what I think is really, really amazing about your encounters and could give a lot of other people, you know, some lessons there, because a lot of people are fear-based right now and are trying to get the best out of their encounters. And I think the turning moment for you is when you were being abducted one point and you woke up and you're like, hey, put me back, right? Happened?
Yeah, it was, I don't even know how I knew to do this, but at the time this happened, and this was the night that they pulled me through the wall with them, and I looked up, and I've always kind of tried to approach any situation if I'm really terrified, if I'm really scared, with comedy. So I realized that I could move my body a little bit, and I was wide awake, and so I looked at these guys, and I went, hey, guys. I'm awake. I'm stuck there floating with them. They're taking me somewhere, and I couldn't get away, so I just figured, I'll just be funny. And they were shocked. They kind of looked at me like, oh, how did she do that? And there are really a lot of times where I almost wonder if they don't set us up. They don't put us in these positions of fear to give us back our strength, to show us how we can overcome obstacles, overcome our fears, overcome negative situations. And I don't know, maybe I'm an optimist, but
it sounds familiar, because you know some enlightened masters and you know shamans and other people use those kind of tricks to teach their initiates, I guess, to you know. This is what we're down here on Earth anyways, to overcome a lot of this stuff. So.
Yeah, well, good. So, because there were times where I really felt as though the whole thing was staged. But at that point, they went to put me under. They were going to knock me out again. And I felt myself actually visualize this blue light going completely around my body as a protective mechanism. And then my awareness shot out of my physical body. I was still there, but I mean my consciousness or my awareness of the whole experience shot out of my limited perception of the whole experience and locked into, I don't know, maybe an oversoul or some higher aspect of myself. And as it did that, I became very aware of everything that was going on. I became aware of exactly who I was dealing with and what I was doing with them and the guidelines that they had to follow in order to interact with me. And I said to them at that point when I really got it, and then I took this awareness, and this awareness then entered my physical body, and I've never felt though, almost as though I was coming from an omniscient point of view.
Wow.
And I said to them, all right, I am speaking to you from all of myself, from my full self. I understand who you are. I understand who I am. And I understand the big picture here. I understand that I have chosen to be with you and to interact with you, but I do not choose to go with you now, and you must put me back. And bam, I was right back in that room.
Wow.
And from that moment on, everything changed. And I interacted with them on more of an equal level. I would always ask them questions. I would always ask them what they were doing. I would ask to be involved. And it got to a point where I wanted to help them. And they helped me with really understanding the probabilities or the possibilities of this earth plane and what human beings could do to each other and our planet. And they were working from what I've seen and from what I've experienced. I mean, and clearly I can only speak from my perspective, but what I witnessed and what I experienced was an intervention from these individuals that choose to keep us from completely annihilating ourselves and are working to preserve our race at very intricate levels.
Wow, so despite all the talk about ETs being hostile, you're saying that no, that's not it at all. They're benevolent, by and large.
Well, I wouldn't say that all ETs are benevolent because there's good and bad in everything. But I believe that they have to interact through karmic rules and karmic laws.
Okay.
Because there is a payoff, there is a payback. There's certain guidelines that I truly believe that they have to, address. But there are many more very positive, very enlightened species, I guess you would say, for lack of a better word.
These ones that you were talking to, were these the short little grays?
Yes, they were. They showed me, holographically, they showed me at a point in time how they believed that emotion destroyed their race. And obviously negative emotions. And what had happened in their story was that through greed and through power mongers and different negative emotions, they had a nuclear holocaust, or they destroyed their world and had to retreat underground. The survivors of this race, and when they showed me this experience, I was able to feel the emotion that was involved with this. And I have to say that it was heart-wrenching. It was, I mean, if you can imagine now on this planet that we destroyed ourselves and there were just, maybe 1,000 or so survivors on the planet. And,
wow.
And the fear, that the loss and the hurt and the devastation, I mean, I felt it with them. I felt they allowed me to feel what it was that they had been through.
Wow.
And in order to never do that again, they never wanted to repeat that type of a history. They believed that they had to eliminate emotion, negative emotions. They wanted to function as a whole that was completely connected to each other and honored each other's space. They all mirrored this honor to each other. So what they had there, I guess there were there were a couple scientists that had lived and survived, and different doctors and politicians, and I mean there were a few thousand individuals. And you know, and
did they look like Greys at that point? Or did they look like people, or did they have the same appearance they have now?
They looked more human to me than the Greys. And I'll tell you what, and this has run through my mind, and it terrifies me. There's been a thought that it's a possibility that that was the human race in the future.
Wow.
But I don't know this. I don't know. It's just maybe it's my own fear. I don't know. But or a possible reality in some different dimension, because you know, if you know anything about physics and string theory and all this, there are an infinite existences and possibilities, and that could be just one possibility or probability in myriad possibilities.
Well, did they say that? Because you know, Wendy, there are at least 10 cases right off the bat that I know of where ETs have told people exactly that we're you, or you're going to look like us in the future, and we have the same genetics, and we are you, we're related, and so on.
They have said to me before, we are you, but I didn't know if they were talking from a more metaphysical point of view.
Oh, okay.
Like we're all one kind of a thing. You know, sometimes they're very tricky and they make you think and they make you talk. They want to hear your mind. They want to push you to, push your own consciousness further.
I see.
And so they make you answer a lot of your own questions, as a cop-out as that sounds. But
so
you were
going on with your story about how they...
Yeah, so at the time that I saw this, I took it that this is this race of beings, this is these people. And what happened was when this group of individuals... They must have known at some point that this could be an outcome for their future. Just as I believe our government has underground bunkers and different things in case of wars or nuclear wars, that sort of thing, I think that there are all kinds of bases built underground that are ready for something like that, maybe even comets, I don't know. But so this civilization had these areas set up. And so that's why I do believe there were different politician-type individuals and scientists and doctors and that sort of thing. But there were also some regular individuals as well. So they were all down in this one area, and they were arguing about how it happened and how could it have gotten so out of control and what needed to be done for the future. And they talked about, that the emotions, that our emotions and our egos completely got out of control, and so they wanted to fix that. And they said, how can we do this? And what they came up with was they needed to remove the gland that releases the endorphin that triggers these emotions, because it's a chemical base that actually causes these things to happen. That it's not just, happening. It's not just, oh, I feel good today. There's an actual, there are glands that release these endorphins that trigger these chemical causes for emotion. And so then there was a big fight and an argument. There were two groups. There were two thoughts. And the one, there was an elder man, he seemed very scientific, but he was very enlightened from the way I saw it. And he said, you cannot do this. You cannot remove these glands. You cannot remove this and have positive emotions. You'll have no emotion. If you remove this, not only will you lose your ability to experience negative emotions, you will lose your ability to experience joy and happiness and positive emotions. And they said, no, this, you're wrong. From what I gathered, were very advanced, very intelligent beings. So I don't understand, even as I sit here, I mean, clearly, well, yeah, of course you would. And so they argued, and they said, well, this is what we're going to do. And this, I don't know what kind of time elapsed, because, you know, there was enough of a population down there that they were breeding and that sort of thing. But the other problem, let me keep going with this first, though. So they became divided. So they split in half, and so half of these individuals, they said, well, we cannot stand by and watch you do this, because this is going to be your demise. You cannot do this and think that you will be the type of individuals that you were before. It's not going to happen. And so they gathered up the people that wanted to go with them, left. And so the others removed the glands that triggered these endorphins and different things that caused emotion. And I think that those are the individuals that people say they just didn't seem to have any emotion when they come in contact with them in a lot of these abduction experiences.
Right.
Because I also came in contact with the other individuals that did not remove that, and they had one heck of a sense of humor, in my opinion.
Really?
And yeah, and I did experience compassion from them. I felt, you know, a strong sense of emotion. But in the story, from everything that they showed me, I saw that because of the toxins and the nuclear fallout and everything that had happened to this planet, they had to survive underground for many, many, many years, hundreds if not thousands of years. And also because of the toxins, I guess, in this, and I don't know that it was nuclear. I can't tell you what it was, but most of the individuals were sterile. And so they began cloning themselves. And the cloning only works for so long, and then they began to experience degeneration, as mental deterioration. They were having problems with that. They basically explained to me and just showed me that you can only clone so many times before you've really deteriorated your model.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so then it's damaged. And so the cells somehow within the process over so many times using the same model, they become damaged and they don't replicate properly. And that's when they also began to seek out other life forms to preserve their race.
I see. How interesting.
But what you have to understand is that these weren't terrible, evil beings set to manipulate and, you know, damage or hurt or destroy. They were genuine beings that just hadn't reached a level of spiritual evolution that they could understand, just like us. I mean, look what we're doing to ourselves, our planet. You know, we don't understand how connected we are. We don't understand that some of the things that we do to the planet or even to other people in different parts of the world, you know, affect us at very core levels. And we're setting up a horrible dynamic that could play out in a way that could destroy us in the same way.
Wow. So did the ETs ever say the name of their planet or their star or where they're from?
Well, I've come in contact with a few different. I've come in contact with ETs that were very human-looking, very human. Actually, they were quite beautiful. And when you come in contact with them, you're thinking, wow, I wonder if I could get a date with this person. They're very, very physically attractive, and they radiate a sense of knowledge and compassion, and there's just something about them. It's like if you're looking into the eyes of a more enlightened being, and there's just this feeling that you have about them. I mean, that's kind of the way that I felt about these individuals. They're from a Pleiades system.
Okay.
But the thing that was interesting to me was they were talking about a place called Plejaran, too, which I wasn't, you know, familiar with at all. The other individuals were talking about a place, Lyra.
Interesting. Very interesting.
But the beings that I experienced the Holocaust with, I think those beings were the ones that a lot of people call the Zetas or Zeta Reticula. And it would also explain why some people say that they think they're negative, or they were very cold to them and they didn't feel emotion, and you know, that sort of thing. Because it's not clear cut with that species. It has evolved in a way that is, one is very caring and understanding and sympathetic and emotional, and the other seems very cold, but they're not, from my experience, they're not evil. They screwed up and they know it and they're trying to fix it. And in the process, they want to preserve our race as well, because they believe that we're on the same course that they were.
Wow.
And so what I've also seen, and what was explained to me, was they have taken the very best of them, the very best of their genetic makeup, of their DNA, and they've taken the very best of us as humans, and they have combined this genetic information to create a hybrid offspring that is really quite magnificent.
Wow.
And I don't care how evil, if you want to term it that, those beings may have come across to someone that has encountered those particular beings, if they met the children, these offspring that have been created, there's no way you can look into these children's eyes or you can be in these children's presence and believe in at any level that these extraterrestrial beings, entities, whatever you want to call them, are bad, because this species is too beautiful.
Wow. Well, you know, what's really interesting about your case, as well, as you have lots of supporting witnesses, including me. I mean, there was that lady who you saw a UFO, and she's like, fire in the sky, fire in the sky.
Oh, yeah, yep.
But that time, I wanted to see a UFO, and you're like, okay, we're going to show up at this location, and sure enough, it showed up, this giant golden sphere. And I have to tell you, that was probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
It was pretty fun, wasn't it?
It was. So, I'm a believer. I mean, I already was, but man, very few people can call down a UFO like that.
I think it's because, A, I have no personal agenda, and B, I've overcome fears, and I want to leave something behind that is a positive message of myself and of my experiences. And if I can help one person that is in fear, that is in any type of fear that I was, I mean, that means a great deal to me. And I just know that there is an intelligence other than our human existence. There is an intelligence in the cosmos, in the universe, that does have our best interest at heart and is trying to help us, just like our biologists in the field that are monitoring different animals that are going extinct and different species that their genetic, you know, their genes are mutating and changing into certain things. you know, I think that these beings do care for us and do want to see us preserve ourselves. And so they're, and they somehow, some way, they are connected to us and are trying to assist in the levels that they are allowed to.
Well, do you think the hybrid children will be coming to live on Earth in the future?
I do. I think that there are already hybrids here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I do too. I think a lot of people are going to be pretty surprised when, you know, at all, when they become aware of it, that they've been here all along.
I absolutely think that. It's interesting because some of the hybrids that I've seen still don't look human enough to be here. I think they would be recognized in a big way and taken somewhere to be studied by the government. But there are other hybrids that you'd never know. But maybe you get a sense when you meet them. You know, this feeling comes over you, or this warm sensation comes over you, or a knowing. There's something very special about the twinkle in their eye, or it's something. You can't put your finger on it, but it's something, and they won't tell you.
Wow. Do they know, though? I mean, these hybrids know fully well that they're hybrids, I presume.
You know, I think that they do, but I wouldn't doubt that they would place them back here and not tell people, just because it's easier for them to be in a human experience knowing less.
I see. That makes sense. I think that that is actually happening. Well, you know what, Wendy? Our time is up. But, wow, what a story. I'm so glad that you agreed to come on the show, because I think people do need to hear the positive side of what's really going on. And if they face their encounters, I think they'll be really surprised to find out that they're having actually a lot of positive experiences as well.
And you can always change the negative. It's all based on your karmic guidelines, and think positive and know that you deserve something more.
Okay, well, that's a good message to end on. Well, everyone, I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Wendy Connors. That's a pseudonym, and she's been talking about her amazing UFO experiences, which we really only scratched the very surface of. So
thank you so much, Preston.
Oh, thank you. It's been great. And well, that's it, folks. I hope you can join us next week when I'll bring on another exciting guest. And until then, have a great evening.